You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We got a lot to get into, including some unfortunate news. Two and barbecue for Texas baseball. Yes, we'll talk about it. We'll wait to the next segment, though. I'll give my man Hard some time to at least get in the good mood first, talking about some other stories, and then we'll talk Texas baseball coming up next segment. Also, NFL news, notes, and nuggets. Some of the coaches in the NFL upset. They think the owners pulled the okey-doke on them and changed the rules behind their back. We'll get into that. Also, Mahomes, actually, who we thought was going to reset the quarterback market. That may not happen. Patrick Mahomes talking about whether he wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. We'll get into that. Lamar Jackson talking about his new offense. He's excited. He's getting us excited. We'll get into that in NFL news, notes, and nuggets. And, of course, we'll preview the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA, Miami versus Boston. Game 5, we'll dive deep into it. Before we do, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second-round pick for the Montreal Expos, but a first-round pick for the Austin Radio Network. He originally committed to the University of Texas, but decided to forego the 40 acres and chase his dream in the cheese. Pippin ain't easy, but for this man, it's a breeze. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Hartball Hard. What's going on, brother?
Man, tough day around the 40 acres when it comes to the baseball team. But, you know, there is hope. There is moving on. You get a chance to play in another week. But, boy, oh, boy, like you said, two in barbecue is never a good look. But let me talk about my man that sits across from me every day. He hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a lifetime Longhorn and a proud card-carrying member of DBU. Legendary lifetime and now College Football Hall of Fame Longhorn, Derek Johnson, said he was the best cover corner he had ever seen. He's a former NFL DB that still has that passion for film study, but he's not a fan of white condiments. But, of course, he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is my man and yours, Rod Babels.
I appreciate that intro, as always. Let's not waste any time introducing the real MVP, one of the hardest working members of the ARN family. He's got a hustle spirit, period. We don't know what he's paid, but we're pretty sure that he's underpaid. And also, celebrating a birthday today.
Yay, yay.
It's Patrick Davis, y'all. What's going on, Patrick?
Oh, you know, just having another day of just a little birthday fun.
There it is. There man. It is. Give some love to our man on the Specs text line. 512-337-3776.
What are the plans for the B-Day?
I'm going to a concert after the show tonight, and then have a little get-together with some friends on Saturday.
Okay.
I love
there
it.
There you go. All weekend long. Weekend long celebration.
I mean,
is the official birthday today, or are you?
The official birthday is today.
Okay. But you're going to celebrate all weekend long.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's easier to hang out on Saturday. Saturday, you know, you can get out. You can start a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
We don't get off till 7, so then you're starting a little bit later, and then we got to work tomorrow, so it's, you know.
Yeah, that's because of Texas baseball, actually. It's their fault. We actually have to work tomorrow, blame them. Yeah. What's the official age? Do you mind revealing?
39.
Ooh, that's
one step closer.
You one step closer.
One step closer.
It is. I'll let you reflect on that. But happy B-Day, Patrick. Thank you. Happy for you, man. All right, Specs text line, as my man Harsh mentioned, you can also use the Twitterverse as well. Harsh is at Hardball Harsh in the Twitterverse. Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis. And I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. All right, we won't talk Texas baseball here. We'll do that coming up next segment and break it down a little bit more and get Harsh's thoughts. I just got one question for you, Harsh, though. Do we need a panic button?
Yeah, we need to start like moving a little bit, a little bit, man. I mean, your boy,
that question earlier. We did need one.
We did not.
Okay.
We did not. And it was just, you know, we'll talk about it at 3:30.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about it there.
Wow. All right. So I expected you to say, no, we don't need
one. It's just that frustration.
That's like when you ask your friend, he's trying to fix you up with somebody, and you ask her, is she hot? And you say, listen, man. And he's like, well, no, I don't listen about it. Listen is not a response.
She looked like Janet Jackson.
Well, look like Freddie Jackson. Yeah, that's not a response. But, yeah, so we'll get into it. We'll talk Texas baseball for a lot of those, of course, disappointed Texas baseball fans out there, too, and barbecue. All right, we'll get to that coming up next day. We'll also get to previewing the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, Game 5, Boston versus Miami. That is in Boston. We'll get to that, too. But a lot of random NFL stories out there. So I want to get to some of these NFL stories, because apparently the coaches of the NFL are a little upset.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who don't know, the NFL, they have like these annual meetings, and they have a spring meeting, they're meeting that's going on right now, too. They have a meeting right now in May. They have one also in March as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
The one in March, and they, by the way, they can vote on different changes with the rules, and they can propose different changes with the rules during these times. But of course, the owners have to vote on it, and you have to get that to change the rules. You have to get at least, I believe, 8 of the owners.
Mm-hmm.
All right, at least 8 of the owners on the same page to be able to try to change something. So it's one of those things where in March, apparently they threw out the idea of to oppose something, I should say, you need 8, because you need 3/4 of the majority vote of the owners to pass something. So you would need 8 owners to oppose it for it to be able to stop it from passing.
Right.
So that's basically what I meant to say. But anyway, so in March, they proposed a lot of these rule changes. And when they have the meeting in March, everybody's invited. GMs, executives, coaches, everybody goes. These meetings that are happening now are owners' meetings. There are OTAs going on right now, right. So coaches are at OTAs.
Yeah, they're not there.
All right,
for
they're
that.
Not. They're not there for these meetings. I imagine maybe they are invited, but why would they be there when they have to, you know, coach the actual team? So mm-hmm. OTAs and stuff are starting on right now. And this is when they voted on the new fair catch rule. They voted on it in the owners only meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the March meeting, when the owners proposed this rule change, the coaches vehemently opposed it. And most of them, the majority of the coaches opposed it. And the coaches probably can get GMs on their side, and then GMs can try to get some owners on their side. You know, just throw it up the chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
And the owners, after the March meetings, after they kind of tested the waters, threw out a trial balloon test among the decision makers in the NFL, coaches, executives, and owners about this fair catch rule change, they didn't like the response. So their retort to that response was, we're going to do more research on this. We're going to do more research. We'll get more data, and then we'll come back to the table in May, and then we'll discuss it more. Well, essentially what they did was they claim they do have the data. They have said they have the data. But they basically changed the rules when the coaches would be busy at OTAs.
Absolutely.
And wouldn't be able to vehemently oppose it and try to win the GMs over and some other executives over on their side, and they passed it. Now, it's a one-year rule change, which is that basically you can fair catch the kickoff return anywhere inside the 25. As long as you fair catch it, it goes to the 25.
Yeah.
It's basically the college rule.
The thing about it is, for me, is why do you have to wait for this to happen where the coaches aren't there? Because they are the ones that are on a competition committee. Those are the ones that really understand what it's about. Even though there's been a lot of times they've come up with these rules and we've all looked at each other and I was like, what? What rule is this? What rule is that? Well, and you sitting here and talking about this rule, and this is another one that now you're changing the way the game can possibly be played.
Yep.
And there's so many things that are happening within those situations. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but this limits that opportunity for you to make a big play either offensively or defensively when you're dealing with the punt return. The kickoff return.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
John Harbaugh, who is one of the only coaches in the NFL as a head coach who started out basically as a special teams
coach. He was a special teams guy.
That's most of his background. Mm-hmm. He says here that the fair catch rule, we had a chance to weigh in on that with all the special teams coaches. We had a long talk and discussion about that. We weren't for it. We voted against it.
Right.
We think it's going to create more high speed head trauma than not having it in there. That's our position on it. I don't know. He didn't really explain that. But we'll see. They want to give it a shot and take a look at it. And he didn't explain why he thinks the rule will create more high-speed trauma. I would like to actually hear that. He didn't explain that. The owners essentially believe this is going to take kick returns. That it's going to decrease them even more.
That's going to be
It's going to take them out of the game. And they're essentially shadow banning the kickoff return. They don't want to actually do it, but they're essentially doing it. John Harbaugh wasn't the only coach who came out recently, now that they're at OTAs, that spoke with the media, came out against it. Dan Campbell, you expect Dan Campbell to be against it.
Well, he was another guy that was a special teams guy because he was that other tight end.
Your point. Yeah,
he had to try to make the team.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Hey, Rod B, trust me.
Rod B.
Rod B wouldn't be able to make teams this day and age. It'd be much tougher for Rod B to stay on. Here's the Detroit Lions head coach, Dan Campbell, talking about his opposition to the new rule change.
Yeah, highly frustrating. It's very frustrating. But look, I don't make the rules, and so that's a new rule, then we'll live by the new rule. We'll find a way to adjust, adapt, and still get what we want. You know, that's what you got to do. But you know, I hate that we continue to take away from the game. That's what really worries me. You know, we continue to bleed this league. You know, if we're not careful, it won't replenish at one point. But listen, it's the rules, and we'll make do, and we'll adjust.
All right, Dan Campbell, him talking about his feelings about the new rule change. Andy Reid also went on the record and was asked about the rule change. Here is Andy Reid's thoughts on that rule change.
I don't know. We'll have to go through all that. My thing is, where does it stop? Right. So you start taking pieces, and we'll see how this goes, but you don't want to take too many pieces away or you be playing flag football.
So the coaches don't like it. I actually don't have a problem with it, maybe because I'm kind of desensitized to what I know what the NFL is trying to do. Right. The NFL ultimately doesn't want this play. They don't want this play, the kickoff, in the game anymore. They don't like it. They think it has more, and I've said this before, they believe the kickoff is more of a kickoff and kickoff return is more of a burden than a benefit. It's like the penny. I don't know why the hell we still print the penny, but we are produce it, but we do. It costs more to produce it than it actually is worth, but it's the penny or the payphone. Hell, or the yellow pages, whatever you want to say. Printed porn, you can throw it in the conversation too. It's more of a burden than it is a benefit. Doesn't really do much benefit to the NFL in a league where they're now about points. They're selling quarterbacks. They're selling fantasy football. They're selling scoring. They're not really selling violence anymore in the game, and that's the most violent play in football, and that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And they've said the it's still where most of the injuries occur. The kickoffs account for 6% of all the plays. 12% of all the concussions and 18% of all the injuries. So they, essentially they want it out, but they can't say that, and then the game would look so weird. So now it's almost just ceremonial. The touchback is a ceremonial play.
Yeah, it's part of the game, and it's like,
All
right, we're going out to the 25.
And they love 35. The commercial break.
Yeah.
Because, admit, the commercial break is it's key for them.
Right.
They could just take the commercial break, but it, you know, it makes it, I don't know, it was aesthetically pleasing, and we're just accustomed to it. They probably should, and I don't know why they don't, they probably should take the XFL's kickoff return strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people will remember it, the latest XFL one, because the latest XFL where a kickoff return or kickoff strategy has a 90% return rate, and the average starting field position is at the 31. The NFL is at the 28 when there's a kickoff return, and zero injuries in 2020. Now I got to go look at the latest data, but it works. That kickoff return actually worked. I think they should try to pursue it. The NFL stolen a lot of stuff, borrowed, whatever, from the XFL.
Skycam, whatever it takes. Yeah.
Skycam, they incentivized a two-point conversion. The XFL was all about that. They had the 1, 2, and 3-point options, discouraging extra points. I mean, the NFL can do it. I don't know why they've been kind of stubborn about it. That's a perfect solution.
Well, if you got, I was going to say, if you're going to be able to change the rules anyway, and you're doing it 1 year at a time, why not? Throw something out there, see what happens. Remember, I think you talked about this the other day, the catch rule. How many times has that thing changed?
Mm-hmm.
What's a catch? What's not a catch? Oh, he caught it. No, he didn't. Nah, we don't even know anymore.
Mm-mm.
Now you're looking at it and you're trying to figure out, okay, what's the next move? So if you're going to throw it out there and have this 1 year and see what the results are, because what you said too, they have the data somewhere.
They haven't
shown it to everybody because these coaches are still upset, because if they had the data, as all the analytics that everybody's dealing with every single day, they would understand it a little bit more. But obviously they are still in the benefit part of it. Harbaugh and Campbell both being special teams guy. And I'm sure some of these other guys too. Think about the coaching staffs that now you're about to change up.
That's
about
true.
Some of these other players on this roster that are now not going to be as valuable because, hey, we don't even have special teams anymore. So the things that you were participating in, now you may not be able to play in it. You might be a XFL. You might be a USFL player now.
Text was saying, what is the new rule? The new rule is basically it's kind of the college rule, basically. Anytime the football is caught on the kickoff return inside the 25-yard line, it goes to the 25. Mm-hmm. Automatic touchback right to the 25.
That's when you see them do the arms out. When
exactly.
They kick it out there, they put their arms out. That means I'm not even trying to run this back.
Yeah, so I don't know. The coaches are, I'm surprised. And John Mara, famously also the owner of the Giants, he's upset about it too. So there's at least one owner that's upset about it, but a lot of coaches coming out today saying they don't like it. I understand exactly what the NFL wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL, football is just going to look really different, and the kicking game is probably not going to be a big part of the game. Just the kickoff return, I should say, and extra point. They don't say it. They want the extra point out too.
Right.
They want to shadow ban it pretty much. They want the extra point to be something that's rare and teams going for 2-point conversions more. They have done it. That's why they moved the 2-point conversion. They want to incentivize teams to go for two and discourage teams from the extra point. Extra point is not automatic like it used to be, right? The numbers are dropping. The conversion rate of 2-point conversions is rising. The conversion rate of extra points is dropping. That's what the NFL wants. So they want some genius out there to go to the Super Bowl, basically going for 2 points more than they ever go for extra points. And then the NFL, a copycat league, will copy that. That's the model the NFL wants. They want to phase out the kicking game. They just know the blowback will be what it is now. I mean, you got coaches already coming out. Most fans don't even know what the hell the rule is. The NFL knows that. They're like, man, fans don't give a damn about that.
Right.
They know fans don't care about that little rule change. Fans just want to see points. They want to see their team have a great quarterback, and they want their fantasy football team to be doing well. That's what y'all care about.
That's it. There's no loyalties anymore to this. Yeah.
You don't care about defense and
special
teams.
I need my special teams points on my fantasy team.
On your fantasy team.
Yeah.
That's Justin Tucker.
Yeah.
That's what you're worried about.
That's always one of my draft picks.
but they don't care. Last time we had a great Super Bowl that was a defensive struggle, people complained about the damn thing the whole week. I remember the Rams and the Patriots, people complained about it. I was like, oh, it's a great defensive struggle. People, that was a terrible Super Bowl. Oh, man, it was terrible. That was one of the worst Super Bowls I've ever seen. I was like, it was just a great defensive game plan on both parts.
Yep.
People don't care about that.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
I did because I won all them quarters because nobody was getting there. My points was hitting.
Exactly. but I'm with you. It's going to change the game, I think, fundamentally. That's why the coaches are upset about it.
Yeah.
Let's get to this Patrick Mahomes sound, because I think actually it actually connects closer to home than the Lamar Jackson sound. The Lamar Jackson stuff is fascinating because Patrick Mahomes, everybody assumes that whenever he re-ups, he's going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we all thought.
Yeah, he's going to reset the market.
Should.
And then he's going to take quarterbacks into, where are they now? Close to the $50 million range? Mm-hmm.
So Aaron Rodgers is making 52, for this one season?
Yeah, I mean, we expected Mahomes to go into the just the unprecedented stratosphere of annual pay for quarterbacks.
Right.
Well, he was asked about that recently at OTAs. He was asked about whether, first of all, I think the first question is he talking and are they negotiating his new contract? He answers that. And then, remember, after he answers that, they ask him another question. If you can't hear the question essentially is, the second one is, do you want to be the highest paid quarterback in the league? Like, does that matter to you?
Mm.
And here is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, me and my agent and the team always keep open communication. And we try to do whatever is the best for the team, but obviously I want to do the best for myself as well. But at the same time, I've always said I worry about legacy and winning rings more than making money at this moment. I know we keep communication. We see what's going on around the league. But at the same time, I'll never do anything that's going to hurt us from keeping the great players around me. So it's kind of teetering around that line.
So you're not driven to be the highest paid quarterback average per year thing.
It's more of a, you just want to do whatever to not hurt other quarterbacks whenever their contracts come up. You want to kind of keep the bar pushing. It's not about being the highest paid guy. It's not about making a ton of money. I've made enough money where I'll be set for the rest of my life. But at the same time, you got to find that line where you're making a good amount of money, but you're still keeping a lot of great players around you so you can win these Super Bowls and you're able to compete in these games.
Man, that's scary. Damn.
Yeah.
One of your only hopes, rest of the NFL, was that he was going to be, you know, just have a little more pride.
Be greedy.
And be a little more greedy, have a little more pride. No. I need to always be the guy. Exactly. I am the best quarterback in the league. I'm on my way to being the GOAT.
I like it.
Best start to a career in the history of the NFL. It's fair to say I should be the highest paid player in the league. We all agree. And everybody go, yes, we agree.
Right.
No, he's not going that route. He's going Tom Brady, Tim Duncan. Where giving discounts? No. As long as y'all are fair to me, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
He's that kind of guy. Damn it!
I want to win.
Damn it.
I want winners.
Damn it!
What'd he say? I've got enough money that I am good for the rest of my life, but I want to make sure I don't mess the market up for others.
That's a huge part of it.
That's it.
That's that baseball thing.
This
is Pops probably told him that. Hey, bro, you have to be competitive.
Exactly.
In your salary,
because of you, of who you are as a quarterback, people are going to want to play with Patrick Mahomes. And you have a coach like Andy Reid. Maybe late in your career, you can chase the money. Right now, he is like, boom, let's keep this thing going. I'm ready to continue to win. I want to do it now. And I'm going to make sure everybody else get paid.
I wish he did. Tell him to go watch the movie Wall Street. Right? Greed. Greed is good. Patrick Mahomes, greed. Go watch that speech, man.
He's like, I'm investing my money into everything, so I'm doing all right.
That is so upsetting.
Yeah.
That he is willing to give the discount, because now they're just going to be able to keep building. Guys, they had the record this year. For they were top five, I believe, in like the last 15, 20 years in rookie starts for a team that made the Super Bowl.
Correct.
That's what I should say.
Yeah. And it ain't over. What did Marcus Peters say when he went up to the podium? He said, we ain't done yet.
No.
That's it.
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay, so one more other piece of sound here from Lamar Jackson before we get done, and we'll move on and talk Texas baseball next segment. Mm. Okay, so Lamar Jackson, is that OTAs too? By the way, Lamar Jackson usually doesn't come to these.
Nope. He's like Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, he has very much been like they really doesn't come to these. Mm-hmm. This is not his thing, but he's there. New offensive coordinator in Todd Monken, one of the 16. Yeah, half the damn league has new OCs this year. He's one of those. And he, Lamar Jackson was asked about the offense. And everybody's interested to see what this offense is going to be. Here is Lamar Jackson making some statements about what the new offense with Todd Monken as the new offensive coordinator is going to look like with Lamar Jackson.
I mean, just being able to throw the ball down the field. You know, we sometimes, you know, we can't. Running can only take you so far, you know, and I feel like with this new era of teams and offenses in the league, I feel like we need that, and Coach Todd Monken, what I'm seeing his offense so far is looking tremendous.
Do you feel like you're they won't have to run as much and that'll maybe be scaled back a little bit?
Absolutely. Absolutely, especially with the receivers we have. Bate, OBJ, Zay, Duve, Pro, all those guys. You got Isaiah, the tight end, Mark, my guy.
All right.
Yeah.
So he's basically saying they're going to run less and throw more.
Hey.
Especially for him at the quarterback position. And keep in mind, nobody's had more quarterback runs in their system, in their offensively, you know, their scheme than the Ravens. And makes sense in the last 4 years. They were, if you look at quarterback rushes under Greg Roman, they were third, first, and first.
Right.
Since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
They still might, still probably will be somewhere close to that, but he's saying they're going to throw it a lot more and they're going to run it less. I like that. And also, he remarked in some other comments, quote, you can change things when you want to, basically what Coach Monken told me. You see the defense, and it's not looking right to you. You see some guys blitzing. You might want your wide receiver to do something different. Coach is giving you the free will to do whatever you want to.
So
he's going to have more control over the offense, too.
It's about time. I mean, this is an MVP. This is a guy that has seen it, and we've talked about it before. There always has to be an evolution for whatever team that you're on, whether at the quarterback position. We've talked about it with Quinn Ewers here. We've talked about it with Dak Prescott. We're talking about it with Lamar Jackson. But we also know there's a time when you're used to hearing the same voice over and over and over again, which is why they got the change in Dallas, which is why they got the change here in Baltimore. He needs to evolve as that player because the hate that they have, it don't even matter to him about the hate. What he's looking at is how can we win and how can I be better at my craft?
Exactly.
And that's why they brought this guy in.
Yeah, no, I think it's – I like the combination. I do think it's going to work out. First of all, as long as Lamar Jackson is healthy, I don't think he can work in damn near – I think he'd work in a lot of offense. I know people don't believe that. It's so strange that he came from a pro-style offense in college. Won the Heisman in a pro-style offense, famously. And yet the big knock on him was that we don't think he can play in a pro-style offense. And it's like, what he won the Heisman is a pro-style offense that he was in. I know, y'all, it's not a good talking point. But
yeah, because all y'all, the ones that y'all were looking at was his exciting runs. Y'all weren't looking at him throwing the ball 65 yards in the air on the money to his wide receivers. But, yeah. I agree with you, Doc.
It's crazy. And, yeah, I mean, and in the NFL, when you look, I mean, he wins the MVP award, and it was like unanimous.
Hello.
A unanimous award winner. And yet there's still, I don't know, there's just still a lot of hatred about his game and his overall skill set. But I do think this year, I think there is a intentional, deliberate movement by the Ravens. They want to showcase him as a passer. Let people know, no, he's a franchise quarterback. And that we know he's the most explosive athlete to ever play the quarterback position. But he actually can be a pocket passer. I think they're going to show it off this year. And
Always thought he could be a pocket passer, but that wasn't his offense that the coordinator was calling.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I've always been mad at that. Going back to your point, it's like, what did people really not see? Like, what were they really searching for to knock him? Just say he didn't win big playoff games. Just say that. Don't bring up any of the other stuff because you obviously didn't pay attention to him before. So just say, hey, he's not good. We don't want to pay him the money because he hadn't won big games. Say that.
Oh, you don't like running quarterbacks
right.
because of the risk of injury, and that's
right.
something that
he runs way too much. Okay, say that.
Yeah.
Don't say he's not a quote-unquote pocket passer. Who is? Everybody gets out of the pocket.
These days.
Everybody's yeah. running for their life.
These days. You got functional mobility
yes.
is now a basic requirement.
That's absolutely.
That's on the base model of quarterback these days.
Right.
It used to be like, oh man, he can move around. That's some added value in his skill set. It's like now functional mobility.
It's a must.
You get that on the basic model,
right? We didn't even give you all the bells and whistles.
You get that on your just basic model quarterback. They all can move around now. The statue's in the pocket. That's a done era of quarterbacking. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into Texas baseball. We've avoided it long enough. They drop the game to K-State, and that means two and barbecue. They are done for the Big 12 tourney. We'll get my man Harge's thoughts on it and talk about what is next for Texas baseball right here on Ball Don't Lie. Wonderful. On the horn.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Church house, gin house, school house, outhouse, on highway number 19, the people keep the Santa clean, they're calling Nutbush, oh Nutbush.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104 Down the Horn. It is a new theme Thursday edition of Ball Don't Lie. That's from my man Patrick, who is celebrating a birthday today. So you want to wish Patrick a happy birthday, you can do so on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. But also, he is our idealionaire on the show. He's the one that comes up with all of our musically themed days of the week. And on new theme Thursday, he takes jams that are supposed to give Harge and I clues that lead us to the new theme of the day. And I have a feeling that it's a tribute.
Yes.
To Tina Turner?
It is.
There you go. Boom. It's a movie. What's the love got to do? What's the movie? It's the new theme.
It's the theme.
Any Tina Turner song? Yeah. I love it. All right. I love it. Fantastic. We all know it.
I like it.
R.I.P. to Tina Turner. Passed away yesterday. 83?
Mm-hmm.
83 years old?
Yeah.
So, R.I.P. She was a legend, an icon. And she actually had one of the greatest reinventions in her career, too. Because with Ike, Tina Turner was a different artist altogether. And when she left Ike and emancipated herself from his abuse, she transformed into like a rock star.
Yep.
And she wasn't rock and roll. She was like, they were like R&B, it's like early R&B stuff with Ike Turner, and she became like a rock legend. So she basically kind of was one of the forces in music in two different genres.
Yeah. She was definitely something special, and she's known for her legs, bro. The legs were what a lot of people always went to when they were talking about it. She was like, oh, she's got great legs.
They were insured for millions, I believe.
Yes, they
were. I don't know the exact number, but I do remember.
She could shake that thing when she was over there.
Yeah, they were so damn valuable then. Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
All right, so thanks to Patrick, and happy birthday to my man Patrick as well. So I wish him a happy birthday. You can do it also via the Twitterverse if you don't want to do it on the Specs text line. You can do it via Twitter. He's at It's Patrick Davis. Harge is at Hardball Harge, and I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. All right, Harge, we've avoided it long enough.
I mean, we can't keep avoiding it.
No, because it's staring us right in the face.
Yeah, it is.
The two and barbecue for Texas baseball. I asked you at the beginning of the season after a 4-7 start?
Mm-hmm.
And then like that 0-3 at the beginning there, too. I asked you, did they need a panic button? And you said no. Confidently.
Very much so.
Said, no panic button. Don't need that at all.
None.
Well, now we're at the end of the season, the end of the Big 12 tournament. I'll ask you again, should Texas baseball fans be looking for a panic button?
They definitely need to dust it off.
Dust it off?
Dust it off.
What?
Let me tell you why I believe that. Because of the performance that we saw this week, it wasn't necessarily about the pitching. Mm. It was more about the lack of execution at the plate. I mean, they had bad at-bats, after at-bat. And I don't know, I mean, sometimes you're not ready to go, but when you've told us, this is going from what you were talking about, is we have our goals on 5 championships.
Mm-hmm.
They got the first one when they got a share of the Big 12 tournament.
That was impressive.
The Big 12 regular season.
That was impressive.
So now you're going into the tournament, and you have the opportunity of putting yourself in a host position.
That's the key right there. That's disappointing.
That is the very disappointing. And you got beat by both teams from the state of Kansas.
Mm.
And you had the upper hand. Now, we can go back and look at the run that they went on and what they did to get to the championship. But you sit here and you say, the job's not done, and how dialed in are you going to be? Because I don't care how good your reputation is as the University of Texas, when you go on the road to a place where people don't know you and you had a chance to play at your friendly confines and you couldn't dial it in for another weekend, that's a problem.
Two opportunities.
Yeah. Because you could have worked your way back through the loser's bracket, which we've seen you do multiple times. But for you to go up there as the Big 12 champion and you had the opportunity to secure yourself as a host and you fumbled the bag, that's on you. So, yes, I think execution-wise, that is something that I'm a little bit worried about. If you look at today's game, K-State, who, by the way, got walloped yesterday by TCU.
Wild thought, okay, this is a perfect matchup for Texas coming off of a down game versus Kansas.
What's your ace on the mound, too, going up against their ace? So then you bring in LBJ, who I'm a big fan of, missing a couple pitches. And when I was in the car earlier today, I heard Roger Wallace. By the way, great job by Craig Way and Roger Wallace,
Shout out, as always.
But I heard Roger Wallace saying, man, these are some real healthy swings by K-State. And I was listening in the car when I was driving before I got a chance to watch it, and I could hear the foul balls. I could hear the ping of the bat with that great field mic that they have. And I was like, man, that's a different sound. They don't sound like ours, because we weren't hitting the ball hard. We weren't hitting the ball square. They were hitting the ball square. Texas, I believe, struck out 12 times today.
Could it have been the environment? They're going to make excuses, of course.
They have not played well at the Gilf. Don't forget, they lost all three games at the very beginning of the year.
That could just be the environment.
Yeah.
Could it just be that place? They just don't play well there. And even I heard Coach Pierce yesterday.
But they played for the championship last year there. They ended up getting to the championship there.
That's fair.
Last year. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you have the task in front of you, and all you could ever want is your own destiny, right? You put yourself in a position. So, no, I didn't expect them to go there and win the entire thing. I thought they would be battling, but I didn't expect them to lose the first two games.
Nobody did.
Of the tournament.
You didn't expect the one seed to be the first team out.
Exactly. You didn't. You play at 12:30 and then you play at 9, and that team played at 9 both days that you played. And they got crushed in one, and here you go, come out today, and they just didn't have any fight, it looked like.
It just seemed like, I heard Coach Pierce say it after the Kansas game, and he said, I'm not using it as an excuse, but he did remark about the environment there, and it felt like an exhibition. I think that was somewhere along those lines. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, you're going to be exhibition somewhere else because you didn't handle your business somewhere you could host.
Yeah, it feels like an exhibition. You're like, dude, why does that matter? It's the exact same for both teams.
Yep.
You can't.
Well, no, that for it is, but the psychology is different for both teams. Even Harsh brought this up. For Kansas, they had more of a desperation factor. Yeah. Texas came off a little high, sweeping West Virginia, getting a share of the Big 12 title. So they had more, as Coach Brown would say, sugar on their back. And Kansas came in with desperation at their back.
But isn't that your job as a coach? To get them up for it? And then when you play an awful game on Wednesday, you go, hey, man, y'all can't do that again. Like y'all looked awful, and then to come out on Thursday and look worse.
Yeah. Just
and then go we weren't feeling it. You go, dude, you can't be a one seed and play that bad two games in a row.
You can't. It doesn't matter even if because the texter says Longhorn history at Globe Life 5-11 record, lost six in a row, 190 strikeouts in 16 games, an average of 11.87 per game. If those stats are right, and thank you, texter.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great work there. It that would give Longhorn fans a reason to avoid the panic button or at least dust it off and go, listen, they just play really bad there. But the Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams size, Cardi B size, Megan Thee Stallion size, but is, yeah, that's not championship DNA, though. Right. Championship DNA is, man, I'm going to have to go on the road and play. I got to go win games. And you want them to show that they have that in them. So that in the postseason, yes, of course, number one seed, as Patrick mentioned, going 2-barbecue, that's disappointment. Void. I guess if you want to blame the GILF, you can blame the GILF.
Yes,
I'm gonna blame the GILF.
No, I'm not. I'm going out there and saying, "God dog it, y'all playing on the same field." That's like I always used to say. People are like, "Man, that home run you hit was wind blown," and I'm like, "Didn't you play on this field too?" I don't care how wind blown it is. My ball went out and yours did not.
No.
So that's how I look at it. It's like, man, when you have these opportunities, because for some of these guys, you don't know what the ending is for you. Like, you may not play baseball anymore.
Hey, and you know it's not probably a great sign to suck in an MLB park.
Right.
When they're scouting you and then they go, hey, man, you know where you're really bad? At the parks we always play in. That's when you seem to be the worst.
Yeah.
That could be a problem. But I don't think that's a huge fact, but
no.
Obviously,
if you want to feel better about the situation and not freak out in the postseason, that gives you a reason not to. But yes, it is disappointing.
Yeah, I will say there was one positive, which was Dylan Campbell kept the streak alive.
He tied the Big 12
record. So at least something positive. Still happened in this.
Hey, I guarantee you. Jack O'Dowd yesterday.
Yeah, Jack O'Dowd
was balling out
dialed in yesterday. And that's why he came up in a bunch of situations where he had runners in scoring position. He could have done some things at the plate, as well as Eric Kennedy had a couple times. Porter Brown had a few times. And early in the game, Texas had runners in scoring position and didn't execute it.
It could be one of these things where, because we've seen this in college basketball, I don't know about college baseball, where coaches will downplay the conference tournament in favor of getting ready for the big tournament, I'm just saying, like, during the week, like, getting the guys ready, even your demeanor changes, your attitude, because you have a different attitude about it. Like, it don't matter.
Right. Well, here's the thing about it. In certain situations, yes, I could see where a coach would be like, all right, let's go out here and play hard, try to win a championship. But if we can rest our arms for a few days or something like that. But you can only do that if you're the top five teams in the nation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you've earned that right.
Yeah.
You've earned everything that goes with it. Like, if LSU doesn't play well in the SEC tournament, they're not up against it. They've been the number one team all year. You know what I'm saying? And now Wake Forest is at. So when you watch Texas and you had the opportunity to lock in the host, because I don't care what nobody said, when you're the home team, it's a totally different feel. You have all the fans. It won't be an exhibition game. Yeah. It's all about you.
It just didn't seem like they played with a sense of urgency.
No, they didn't.
But I'm saying, you broke it down. That sense of urgency, that makes perfect sense. They just didn't play like that. And I wonder if there was something lost in translation where that sense of urgency wasn't instilled.
Right.
That, hey, guys, this is playoffs right now. We need it.
They missed it. Yeah.
We can't afford one L.
No doubt.
We're done with that part of the season.
Yep.
And I just don't know. They didn't play like that. So I just wonder what happened. Oh, real quick, let me ask you this. Is it possible the Big 12 now does not have any team as a host team?
Absolutely. Because right now, Oklahoma State is battling right now. They got their top pitcher in the game right now. I don't know the exact score. I'm about to find out. We'll have it by the time we come back from break. But, yeah, it's a rough look, man. It's a rough look.
So instead of Texas, may only have – is it – who's it? Dallas Baptist
may be the only one.
Wow, that's rare.
Yeah.
That's rare.
Yeah.
All right.
It's rough, man.
That is rough. rough conversation to have. All right. Well,
Oklahoma State just beat.
There you go.
Oklahoma State just beat West Virginia 3-2.
Oh, so the Big 12. So they may have still got hope.
Yeah, but maybe not the state of Texas. Yeah, it's rough.
All right. We'll come back. We'll talk about the state of Texas, the flex area specifically, right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. New theme Thursday. That's when the birthday boy, that's right, happy birthday to my man Patrick. You can wish him a happy birthday as well on the Specs text line or via Twitter. That's when he takes songs, and based on the songs that are played, Harge and I are supposed to gather clues and hints that lead us to the new theme of the day. And of course, as you can hear, the new theme paying tribute to one of the rock legends, Tina Turner, who passed away yesterday. So just seemed fitting, and I'm glad Patrick decided to do it. The new theme is just Tina Turner jams. Okay, so, man, how did you narrow this down? Was this tough for you?
I mean, kind of. It's a one, but I think there's enough that are like, okay, that's kind of an iconic. We got to play that one.
Did you go for most well-known, or did you go for just trying to have representation over the expansive discography?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both. But yeah, it's you know, there's probably four or five that you're like, okay, that you have to play. And so then it's just a couple others that you kind of throw in there. But
no, I like the way you started off with, what was that, the Nutbush?
Nutbush, City of the Limits?
Yeah.
That's where she's from.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's always a weird chorus to me, too, ever since I was a kid. But it's one of those jams, one of the very iconic songs. You knew it as soon as you hear it, you know it. And she does have one of those voices, too, like that immediately. As soon as you hear it, you know it. So thanks, my man, Patrick, working hard. New theme Thursday, paying tribute to Tina Turner, RIP to Tina Turner. Mm-hmm. All right, get into the Flex, FLXATX.com, FLXATX on all of your social media platforms. Go check out the podcast from yesterday's Flex. Shout out to Nolan, did a great job. Shout out to rest of the Flex crew. It wasn't much of the Flex crew. It was him and Cameron.
That's right.
Shout out to Cameron, who is known as the Colonel at times on the radios here. But Cameron Parker and Nolan Hogan did a great job. And they had a special guest, Hayes DB, Marcus Taylor, who we got a chance to meet, too, mm-hmm. is on with them. So you can go revisit that Flex, the Wednesday night Flex. Go revisit that at FLXATX.com. Also, up at the website, you can get details on the 7-on-7 tournament this weekend at Westwood that will be taking place.
Also, you can go to the podcast page as well as the front page, and you can catch the interview that we had with coach JT Blair.
Nice.
They are getting ready to play Eagle Pass at 5 p.m. today. That Westlake is on the road. Rouse is getting ready to play Palmview. And, of course, you still have the women's softball with Georgetown softball still playing as well.
All right, there you go. Check out the Flex. FLX.
And Taylor Ducks. They're still playing as well.
Shout out Taylor.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So go check out the Flex, FLXATX.com, FLXATX on all of your social media platforms. All right, we come back. We got to dive into the NBA, gentlemen, Eastern Conference Finals Game 5. The Boston Celtics found a way to keep hope alive. So we'll see if they can continue their winning ways. They're at home. Game 5 versus Miami. We'll talk about that and break it down right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.